Hi, this is Danielle from the Gels Curator, and this is episode 38 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. And don't forget, at the end of February, Saatchi has graciously offered to give away a $50 gift card to be used toward art on SaatchiArt.com. I'm going to draw one name from my Art for Your Inbox email list at the end of February. So if you already subscribe, your name is already in the draw. If you don't and you want to, you can sign up by entering your email on my site, thejealouscurator.com. There's a little subscribe field on the top left. All right, so today's guest is the lovely and super talented New York-based painter Samantha French. Her work is absolutely gorgeous. Being surrounded by her underwater swimmers feels like you're in the pool right along with them. Now, I may have done that thing at the end where I say goodbye and the artist thinks I've stopped recording, but I actually haven't, because I'm very tricky. Keep listening at what you think is the end for the rest of our conversation. Okay, ready? Let's call New York.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
It's so good to talk to you.
You too, it's been so long.
I know. Facebook just sent me the reminders of the show we did down in Chattanooga.
I got that reminder too.
Did you? 3 years ago, exactly.
That's so crazy. It doesn't feel like that at all.
It doesn't.
It feels like it was last February.
It really does. It does not feel 3 years ago.
And so how have you been? Are you so busy?
I've been pretty busy. I've taken a little time to get some other projects done because I just got done with a show, but things are good. Things have been really good. Yeah, you've been busy.
Yeah. I have been busy. It's all good though, but yeah, every now and then I'm just like, whoo.
I'm sure.
Need to sit down for a minute.
You're doing another book?
Yeah. I'm all done now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. So now it's just over to Chronicle. So I handed in my last stuff in the fall, and then now I just wait for them to build it.
Awesome. That's super exciting.
Yeah. Gosh. It'll be really cool to, you know, to see it in a store. That's always the crazy thing with Creative Block and Collage is like going to a store and it's like, there it is.
I see them everywhere I go.
Really? Oh, that's exciting.
They're everywhere. I love it.
Me too.
And this one will be just you, your writing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the scary part. Martha Rich Illis. Do you know Martha?
Not personally. I know of her work.
Oh, she's great. You guys would get along so well. She's so she illustrated it, which is very exciting. And then you have all my words.
Yeah, she's a great illustrator.
She is. And are you still in New York?
Yep.
Yeah, because she's in Philly, but she teaches in New York. So she's there. Next time I come, we'll have to all because you guys would get along great.
Yeah, that would be fun.
So I want to know all the stuff that you're doing.
Oh, goodness. Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Oh, we are.
Yeah. I mean, no, go
sure.
on.
Sure. I just thought we were chatting.
Well, we are. We're just going to chat for half an hour, though, and I'm going to happen to record all of it.
Good. I was like, I really don't like doing things like this. And I'm like, you're the one person I think I could feel comfortable with. If I really mess up, you would be like understandable.
Did you hear me call you out?
No. Oh yeah, I did.
On Leah's episode.
Yeah, but you didn't send me a request. I had emailed you back when you emailed me to ask me to do this.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh. So I called you out for no good reason. I just lost you in my inbox?
I think so.
Oh.
Or I think it was like a Facebook messaging thing. It was an issue with that.
Okay. Now, are you lying?
No, I'm seriously not.
Because I totally called you and Jennifer Davis out. I was like, she said, what about, have you had Sam on? And I'm like, she didn't even respond.
I busted out laughing walking down the street when I heard that.
Well, I'm so glad that you're doing it. And it's just so nice. I mean, it's crazy. It's been 3 years. So it's nice to even just catch up. And, you know, I loved your work for years before we even met. And then when I hung the show, the Beautifully Boring Show in Chattanooga, at that time, I'd never actually seen your work in person. I'd only ever seen it online. And yeah. Oh my gosh, it's just breathtaking. You know, we hung it all in one corner and they're so, well, a lot of them are really big. Are the majority of them quite big?
Yeah. Most of them are around 4 feet to, I'd say like 3 feet to 7 feet is sort of my comfort zone.
Yeah, that's crazy. And so that corner of the show, you'd walk in and it felt like you were in a pool.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, oh my gosh, it like made me a bit teary eyed. You know, it was just so beautiful. And, you know, I love online for being able to expose people's work, but like there, nothing replaces seeing it in person. And that was especially, you know, in that case, I just remember that so much. And so, well, let's talk about that. That's crazy to me that that's your comfort zone.
Has
it always been?
No. I mean, I think in college I was working around like 3 to 4 feet for the majority of the projects towards the end of school. And definitely I've done a lot of smaller work in the past, especially when my studio has been a lot smaller and like your space pretty much dictates like how large you can work. And, but I love to work on a larger scale. It's more physical, but it feels more intimate. You're like up close to the work. And, but it, since I work a lot with, sort of abstraction and the reflections in the water, you have to really step back for things to come together and create form a lot of times. And it's a fun experience for me to work like that, especially on that large scale. And then when you're in front of those and they just sort of envelop you, you feel like you're there. And a lot of them are, the figures are life size. So.
Mm-hmm. And so do you feel like you're in a pool when you're in your studio?
No.
You must. It's just, and so you're in a big, beautiful studio now.
It's not that big. It's like 300 square feet, but it works pretty well for me, especially for New York. It's a good size and a really good light.
And so do you have to back right up to the other wall so you can get perspective on them?
And move stuff around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Climb on things. Pretty much.
Wow, that's cool. And so when you put up a big new, brand new, like 7-footer and it's clean, how do you start? Like, what's your process? Do you underpaint first? Do you like, how does that guy, because that's what scares me is a big, perfect white, you know, square or rectangle. And so it's like, oh boy, big first brush stroke.
Right. Well, there's a lot of, process before I actually get to the painting. So when I have a canvas that size, I know basically what I'm going to be doing. So, and it kind of depends if it's a commission and it has to look exactly like the, like the mock-up or how it's going to go. I can grid it off sometimes and then I'll do like a loose drawing, just to get the proportions right. Otherwise then I start with, sometimes I'll do a wash. It really depends on the painting and like the colors I need. I won't do a wash if I need like really bright, intense blues because it'll tone that down. So I'll like throw those right on the white of the canvas.
Oh.
But I kind of go back and forth depending on the actual painting.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, I don't know what the percentage is now, but like a lot of the paintings are you.
Not as many anymore.
No.
I've been really lucky to have a good group of friends who I can draw on.
And throw them in pools. Yeah.
Yeah. and I mean, that's important to me too, because I like that connection of painting people I know, and especially women and real women, and being able to use them. And I can kind of get a feel for like their expressions, and it's just a different process than working with a model or somebody you don't know.
Right. Yeah. I could totally see that. And they are very intimate.
You know,
like just the positions and when they're coming up to breathe and, you know, things like that. It's a very sort of intimate experience. And so do you get under, like you get in the pool with your camera?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, got to bring the camera.
I know. I think weren't we kind of bummed that there was no pool at the hotel in Chattanooga?
There was a pool.
Was there?
I think we just ran out of time.
Oh, I remember talking about that and I thought it was maybe because there was no pool, but I wanted to see you in action.
I think I just brought a little camera there anyways. And I do my shoots in outdoor pools for the light. Right. And I think there was an indoor pool there. But hey, that's next time you're out in New York.
Yeah. I don't know if I really want to get in a bathing suit and jump in a pool. I don't know. We'll see. Actually, I went swimming last night for the first time in, I realized it as I was getting to the pool, first time in 5 years.
What?
Well, not like I've splashed around, but like to go and like swim laps.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole different experience than just going for a splash. Yeah.
I'm doing a triathlon.
You are? That's exciting.
Just a little one. And so last night was the first time, and I did one 5 years ago, and I had a terrible experience in the swim. And so I've just avoided actually swimming. And so I went last night, and I thought, and it was a beautiful bluey pool. And I thought, how perfect that I'm talking to Sam today.
Hey, that's nice.
Yeah, luckily nobody was photographing me because it was not pretty.
Do you do the swimming in the ocean or in what kind of body of water do you do the triathlon?
It's in a lake.
In the lake, mm-hmm. Okay.
Hence the freak out. Fish, lake weed, dark, you know, no.
Oh, I know it.
And are you a super swimmer?
No, I mean, I've always enjoyed it and I've grown up doing it, but I never did it as a sport.
And so where did this come from? Like, were you painting this kind of work in college or did you start after?
I was doing it in college. I've been working with water since I think my third year in college.
How did that come about?
Well, I grew up in like North Central Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then I went to MCAD, which is the Minneapolis College of Art and Design. And that's in Minnesota, but it's the land of 10,000 lakes. And, you know, we were just surrounded by water and it was just pretty much what you did all summer. And mm-hmm. it was something very natural to me. And I had a lot of memories associated with it and a lot of good memories. And I think I was working on, I was working with a lot of found photos and some vintage imagery when I was in school and doing a lot of figurative work, but I found this photo of my mom and my aunt in the lake when I was a baby, and they were just standing in the water, and I did, I think it was like a 4x4 foot painting of them, and just like the reflection, the water was green, and there were these amazing reflections, and that's kind of where it started.
And did you sort of just never look back after that one?
Pretty much. It was a slow progression to where they are now.
Yeah.
But it felt pretty natural the way it all came together and now what I'm doing.
And when you sort of did that first one, was it an aha moment? Sort of like, okay, this is where I'm going, or you just happened to continue that way?
I don't know if it was an aha moment. I knew it was something that it was really challenging, especially with the water, mm-hmm. working with that. And sorry, not my dog's trying to.
I know, mine will start barking in a minute, so it's okay.
What was I saying?
I don't know now. I'm thinking about dogs. It was challenging because of the reflections.
Yeah, and I was still learning how to paint at that time too. So I was sort of focusing on a lot of things, but I just kept coming back to the water, and now I'm really happy that I stayed with it. I think I had a teacher who was like, "Keep on doing that." And I was like, "Yeah, I think I will."
That's really cool.
And I worked out.
That's good. You got to love a teacher that says, "Keep going."
Right?
I know it's really it's amazing when you find your thing. And what I love so much about you is that you've been doing the water thing for so long, but there's still evolution, you know, like it hasn't stayed the same, you know, and I keep checking back on your site and it evolves and it's so cool. And do you know where the next evolution will take you, or do you just sort of let it happen?
I just sort of let it happen. It's usually pretty organic. But if I'm not feeling challenged in the work and if I'm not excited by what I'm doing, I mean, that'll come through. And I'm not just going to keep plugging away at something just because that's what I'm doing. And so it's like the paintings all sort of talk to each other and they sort of tell you where to go and what to work on in the next painting. And, and I feel like that's sort of how it naturally progresses.
And do you have more than one painting going at a time?
Usually. Yeah. It just kind of depends on stages. What I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you ever feel like, because they're so big, they obviously aren't quick.
No.
You know? So do you ever get sort of bored with one and you want to switch over to another? Or once you're on one, you just keep going until that one's finished?
There's usually a ebb and flow of being bored with it and then getting excited about it again throughout like the whole process and getting stuck in parts. So I'll switch back and forth. And since they're oils, they need to dry. And I do a lot of like layering of the paint application. And so I mean, technically I have to kind of like let them rest for a while anyway. And
that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
That you're sort of forced to do that.
It is. It is. And I've learned to if something's not going the way I think it should, or I'm so frustrated with it, just putting it away for like a few months, or I've found things from like a year that I hated. I was like, I don't know why I don't just destroy this. And I come back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really great. I don't know why.
That's amazing. And then you just keep going.
Yeah.
I love that. Do you ever paint over? I guess with oil, you can't really paint over.
Well, you can. There's different processes you can use. But sometimes when I'm working on a painting, like in the first stretch, like usually, depending on the size, it can be like 2 to 7 months.
Wow.
And depending on like, yeah, if I'm painting a few at a time too, it can, you know, that extends the time. But I'll scrape it down if I need to, if something's not working. I mean, you can't be too precious with things. So you can paint over it. And
I would love to watch you work. That would be so cool just to sit in the corner and watch you do your thing. Has anybody ever done a video?
No, they haven't.
No, because you won't let them in the door?
Pretty much.
That'll be my next thing that I make you do. Yeah. I don't have a video series, but I'm going to start one just for that.
That would be really terrible.
I know. I hate being on video. I hate getting my picture taken. That's why a podcast is perfect.
Okay.
And so being an artist is your full-time job.
Yep.
And has it all, like, did you graduate and that was sort of what you just did? Or did you have a day job first?
Well, I had some day jobs, and all throughout college, I had day jobs. But I was pretty lucky to be in a situation where, so my parents have a coffee shop, and it's in a really touristy area in Minnesota. And I think since my second year in college, I started putting small paintings of boats and things up there, and things started to sell. And, also, the school I went to, Minneapolis College of Art and Design, I think I said that, but they have an annual art sale for students and alumni, and I think it's one of the biggest in the country right now, but I did really well at that, and you can do it 5 years after you graduate as an alumni, and is it alumni or alumna?
Alumni.
Alumni.
Past graduates.
yes. and so I sold my work there. It was like every November and you could sell up to like, I think like 30 pieces you could have in there. And like I had a couple years where everything sold out in the first like half an hour, which was kind of crazy. And it just like really allowed, it gave me the confidence to know that like people would buy my work. And so and to put myself out there more.
Mm-hmm.
And I made money so that I could move out to New York and sort of do some odd jobs the first couple of years I was out here and then wait for the art sale. And then just working with galleries and doing that and starting to sell my own prints really helped as well.
Mm-hmm. So, were you selling them on Etsy or on your own site?
I started on my own site and then I was like, all these blogs are are promoting all these artists. And this was back when Etsy was just sort of blowing up. So it was a really good time to get on there. Mm-hmm. And so I started a shop then, a little past when most people did, but it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so cool. And now, well, I always send people the little list of questions before we chat and say, you know, if you've got anything crazy to tell me, tell me. And so one of your paintings was just in a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had two prints in the movie Sleeping with Other People.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
How did that come about?
It was just random. The set designer emailed me and asked me if I had anything. And like two days later, someone came over to my studio, and actually they were shooting like two blocks away from my studio.
Oh my gosh.
So I didn't get to meet anybody, but I walked over there with the prints and they framed them, and then they gave them back like a week later. And
wow. Can you email me which ones they were and I'll put them in the post?
Yeah, for
sure.
That's
so cool. Now I got to watch that. I was going to watch that movie anyway. Now I'll watch it and watch for you.
I know. Well, I'm not in there.
I know, but you know, kind of.
Yeah, we went.
Wait, are you one of the swimmers? Are they swimmers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I am. I think.
There you go.
There we go. I didn't even think about that. We went to the movie theater, and it was one of those movie theaters where you can order dinner and drinks and everything. And I don't even think I watched the movie. I was just like waiting for. I knew the office that the paintings were going to be in, and then we like started taking photos.
That's awesome.
It was fun.
That would totally be me too.
Oh, I was just thinking the people next to us were looking at us like we were crazy.
They know it's a movie, right? You're not supposed to take pictures of the movie. Were you with Aaron?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your husband. And so was he like,
boyfriend. Yeah. Our partner.
Well, you've been together. Haven't you been together for like 20 years or something?
Oh, you're making me sound old. 15 years, okay. Give or take.
Greg and I are at 17, so I sound older. It's okay. And so he's a painter too.
Yes, he is.
And do you guys share a space or no?
No, we don't.
Is that?
We work separately.
But does he have his own, like he has another studio somewhere else?
He has a studio in our apartment.
Okay. Cool. And so do you guys ever like critique each other's work, help each other out, or is it just very separate things?
No, it's pretty, we critique each other's work. We ask for advice a lot. There's a lot of help and discussion, and it's nice to have somebody to bounce ideas off of too. And
yeah,
just even technical things. And he helps me a lot with, especially the photographs of the swimmers too, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys meet at art school?
No, we met in our hometown. He was there on a break. He went to the same school I went to, and he was kind of the reason I ended up going there. But he like took me there to. I think it was one of their. I think it was the senior project that everybody was showing. And I was like, oh, I think I can see myself here. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's so talented too. Like the two of you are just like crazy, you know, the talent between you guys. And yeah, I was just curious about that. Cause I haven't had that many artists on whose partners are artists too, you know?
Yeah.
And whether there's competition or whether it's good, because I think people would, you know, people always joke because Greg and I work together, but we have very different jobs. And I, you know, if we were both designers, I don't think we would have gotten married because we're both super competitive. But the good thing is we do such different things that we kind of complement each other, you know? And so that's really cool that you guys can kind of bounce things off of each other and, you know.
Yeah, that's not to say we're not both very competitive.
Well, he's such a nice guy. He was in Chattanooga too. And so nice to meet him and, you know, get to know both of you guys better. We'll have to get together when I'm in New York.
Yeah, we definitely should.
And so were you a super creative kid?
Not really. I mean, I don't think I was any more creative than any other kid. I think most kids are pretty imaginative and creative.
But did you think you'd be an artist when you grew up?
Not really. I grew up in a smaller town and I didn't know any working artists besides just like advertising. And that still seemed a little unattainable. Mm-hmm. But that was probably what I was thinking I would go into at some point.
Advertising?
Just because, didn't know anybody that was a full-time artist, that it was an actual career.
Yeah.
You know?
And so was it at school that you kind of realized that you could make that happen?
Yeah, it was. It was just starting to sell my work and starting to do the paintings. And they were just, it was one of the harder things I had really ever done. And there wasn't like a formula to it to like make something look good. And so I guess I just felt like I needed to try and keep doing it until I could make it work.
It's so inspiring. I think so much of your work, and I think like even to be in New York too, two artists together making it in New York, like that's pretty great.
Yeah, it is. I guess I don't really stop to think about it a lot. New York's an interesting place. It's kind of one of those love-hate cities. It's a hard one to get along with sometimes, but it's like it. I just realized I've been here for over 9 years now. So.
Wow. And are you guys like, would you leave or is that your home now?
I would still leave.
Oh, would you? Yeah. Where would you go?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
There's so much to do here and like, it sucks you in, but still, you know, I'm from the woods. And so nature is really important to me. And that's sort of something you don't get as much here. And I would love to be on the coast, I think somewhere, maybe in California, if it was ever possible to make that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Do you know Esther Pearl Watson?
No, I don't.
She's a friend of Martha's too. She's a great artist. She lived in New York for years and years, and then now they live in LA or maybe Pasadena, and she loves it. And
really?
I asked her on the podcast, like in the speed round, I said, New York or LA? And she was like, oh, because, you know, there's so like perks to both, right? You know, each coast has its own, draw. Well, that'll be interesting. I'll keep an eye out for where you end up.
we're not moving fast, so it might be a while.
Well, we moved a couple of years ago back to my tiny little hometown. And had we moved already when I was in Chattanooga?
I think maybe you were in the process of it or...
Yeah, something.
I don't know. With social media, time kind of...
I know, it's all blurred. But it's been a really good move because... you know, I think I was just ready to be somewhere small again. And then I think the nice thing for me is that because I travel quite a bit, I get my big city pop outs, you know, I get New York every now and then, LA every now and then. And then I come home to the woods. And so it's just shifted now, as opposed to being like 90% in the city and 10%, it's just sort of flipped. And, you know, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it, if you can make that work.
Yeah.
Especially since you get to travel so much.
Yeah, like that was driving my husband a tiny bit crazy. Like he loves it here, but then I was the one doing all the little skip outs and he was like, okay, I'm kind of ready for the city.
But you don't bring him with you?
Well, sometimes if we can, like if I can get Charlie out of school and stuff, but generally, you know, I'm just going for a couple of days, so it's just quicker and easier for me just to zip down and zip back.
Oh yeah. No, I figured. But, yeah. How old is Charlie now?
He's 9.
9. Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
We just took him to Pixar, which was so crazy. I spoke there a couple of years ago and then they invited us to come for the premiere of The Good Dinosaur before it came out in theaters. They do a screening for friends and family at the Pixar studios.
Cool.
I know. And so I was like, okay, we got to go. Like, how do you say no thank you to that, right? And his little mind was blown.
Oh my God, I'm sure.
It was so cool. We got a behind the scenes tour from my friend that works there. And, you know, we laughed and Charlie said, "That was the best day of my life."
What an experience for a kid and an adult.
But. Yeah, I know. And it's just like, oh, it just made me so happy as a mom that, you know, because of Jell's curator stuff, he was able to have an experience like that, that, you know, I think could be very formative. Like he was asking, you know, he's like, how do I work there when I grow up? And, you know, my friend Vincent that took us around was explaining how there was the story department and this department. You don't necessarily need to be an animator. You can do this or this or this. And, oh, his eyes just lit up and it was really cool. So if I can take them, you know, if there's experiences like that and I can take them with me, oh my gosh, I certainly do. So
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Okay, all I have for you now is a speed round.
Okay, I'm ready.
There's a lot of ors in this one, I just noticed. So this, actually, speaking of Charlie, I was planning my speed round and he's like, I've got one. Okay, ready?
Ready.
And he also has the correct answer. So no pressure.
Oh, gosh.
It's a would you rather. Would you rather be a wizard or a mermaid?
I think I'd be a wizard, and then if I wanted to be a mermaid, I could turn myself into a mermaid, right?
Oh my God, that is the exact right answer.
Is that what he said?
That is exactly what he said.
Good. I've got the mind of a 9-year-old.
I thought you would just say mermaid because of the whole swimming thing. But then, and I said that to Charlie and he's like, no, but he goes, if you're a wizard, then you could turn yourself into whatever you want, including a mermaid. Wow. Sam, I'm impressed. He will be thrilled. Okay. I will pass that one on. Okay. Pool or ocean?
Oh, I can't choose. They're both so different for different reasons. I mean, they're both so good for different reasons.
Yeah. Okay, I won't make you choose.
Thank you.
Fancy dinner out or takeout in?
Takeout in.
Mm-hmm. What kind?
Oh, maybe pizza is usually the go-to, but I would have to say Thai because I'm feeling Thai right now.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. I'm really hungry right now. That actually sounds very, very good.
Doesn't it?
It does. Okay. And this is kind of a hard one. You might have to think for a moment. I will edit out any long pauses. If you could have coffee with anyone, famous, dead, alive, whatever you want, who would it be?
Oh, that's really hard.
I know. You could say me.
What's that?
You could say me.
You, that's great. Hey, I'll have a coffee with you.
I'm alive.
Oh, you said alive. Okay.
No, or dead, whatever you like.
I thought it had to be someone dead.
No, dead or alive.
I didn't hear that last part. I'll have coffee with you. That'll be fun.
No, that's a cheat.
That's my answer and I'm sticking to it.
All right, fine. I'm actually coming to New York very soon.
When?
Right at the end of February.
Ooh.
I know.
You should give me a call. I'll be in Miami next week, but not.
Okay. I'm not there till the very end of February, beginning of March. So I'll give you a shout and maybe, if I can sneak out of my stuff, we can go have our coffee.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Oh,
yay. Cool. That's it. That was my last one.
Wow. That was so much easier than I built up in my head.
Now we just have to convince Jennifer Davis that it's not the most horrifying experience in the world.
I'm going to send her an email.
Did you guys go to school together?
No, we didn't, but we sort of, Minneapolis has a really, it's kind of a close-knit arts community, and so I've run into her around town a few times, and we know a lot of the same people.
That's what I figured, yeah. She's so great, and I emailed her and said, you know, do you want to do the podcast? And she wrote back, her answer was, hell no. And I keep poking her on Facebook and I'm like, come on, do it. And she's like, no, she won't do it. No, she will not do it. So I'm very happy. Leah said no a bunch of times too. So I'm happy that I got Leah, I got you. And now she's just become my unicorn. It's like, I must break her.
You've got to. I'm so glad I got to hear Leah though too.
Yeah, it was cool because I feel like I know you guys and like I've spent time with you, but then to actually ask you about you know, well, wizards and mermaids. I didn't know the answer to that. But to actually ask you guys more in-depth stuff, it's been really fun for me too to, you know, to hear your answers.
Yeah, it's been fun listening to everybody, especially people I know that you've done. So
mm-hmm. I know it's really I'm addicted now.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah. It's just so much more in depth, you know. Like I still love writing my posts and finding new work and all that stuff, but this is so, you know, it's just so weird. It's like opening an art history book, but like I get to ask the questions.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. As opposed to just, you know, being told the facts. It's like, well, I get to go, well, what about this? And how do you feel about white canvases? And what do you do first? And, you know, like things that I wouldn't know otherwise. And so that's what, you know, makes me a slightly obsessed.
No, and you do a really good job of asking questions that I want to hear. Especially, I mean, because you don't get to, I mean, with the internet now and people posting on Instagram and Facebook a lot, and you can kind of see into their studio life, but I love the in-depth and like hearing how they go about things and some process issues and stuff like that.
Me too. And yeah, so I'll just show up at your studio with a video camera next, I guess.
You probably won't get in.
Yeah. How could we do that so that neither of us get recorded?
I don't know.
We'll just set up a tripod and leave.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Someone else can paint it for me.
Exactly.
I'll have Aaron help.
There you go. He can do it. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to give you a shout when I am there and we can do a coffee and catch up in person, which would be so, so great. And in the meantime, I'll put up a post with all of your beautiful work. And yeah, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm really glad we got to.
Me too.
All right, thanks.
All right, I will talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, good. That was awesome.
Oh my gosh, that was, you made me feel so much more comfortable. I was like so nervous.
Were you?
Yes.
It's just a little me.
I know, but I've got super like performance fright.
Do you?
Yeah.
You know, when I started the pod, that's why I didn't start one for the longest time. My husband loves podcasts and he was like, you should do one, you should do one. I was like, oh my God, like the thought of hearing my voice and like, I hate phoning people. And, you know, I just thought that sounds like a nightmare. Why would I do that? And then I did the first couple with people I knew really well, like Martha.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, that was kind of fun. And I've had a few where I've called people that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel nauseous.
How was it when you called Wayne White?
Oh my God. I cried before.
Did you?
Yeah.
I probably would have too if I was doing that.
Greg was going out. He was taking Charlie out so the house would be quiet. They were going, I don't know. I think they were going swimming actually. And I was just like having a panic attack and I was like getting all teary eyed and I was just like, oh my God, like I just don't think I can do it. Like I think I'm going to sound like a fool. You know, and I just got on. I thought I was going to throw up. And then I got on there and he's just like, he's so nice and just easy, yeah. You know?
He sounded, I mean, I loved the interview with him that you did. And you sounded great. You sounded relaxed. And
I feel like I relax. Like when I listen to it back, I feel like I can hear myself relax around like 11 minutes. You know, like it took me a little while to like, what was the word I kept saying over and over?
I don't know.
Relax. I think I said relax like 4 times and then he even teased me at one point and I was just like, oh my God, I've said relax. I was just so nervous and no words were coming to my brain and I had so many questions for him that, but I knew I only had him for a short time. So I was like, how am I gonna ask him all of this without sounding manic?
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, I'm really proud of myself for doing it and I'm so grateful that he did it. But yeah, I've never felt like that before.
It had a good flow. So it didn't, you definitely didn't sound manic and it seemed like it really.
Well, I had somebody else after him. I forget who it was that I was quite nervous about too. And I remember thinking, well, I mean, if I got through Wayne White without throwing up, I can get through anything after that. And now it's been fine. Like Wayne was my, like, you know, he's sort of my hero. And so after that, everything has felt like, I can do it. I can do it.
Good. Yeah. You've done like almost 40 of these now.
Yeah. You're going to be 38.
Ooh, is it coming out this week?
Yeah.
Is that okay? I'll make sure to stop downloading.
No, nobody wants to listen to themselves.
I won't.
You won't listen to yourself?
I don't think so.
Will you get Aaron to listen?
I'll probably tell him not to. Yeah. I did like a TV thing when I was in MCAD. So to promote the art sale that I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I was their top seller. So they had me do a lot of promotional stuff and I had to go to a TV spot at 6 o'clock in the morning.
A live one?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like the most nerve-wracking thing. And I'm like totally sleep deprived. I do not get up that early, especially when I was like 24 or whatever it was. And I watched the video and I'm just like, I can't watch this. I sound so weird. Just the way I move my lips even. I'm just like, who is that?
I am a big hand mover. Were your hands flailing around or were they good?
I don't know. I know they are right now. The thing about doing a podcast though too, it's like, it's always like with a TV show or the news thing. If you're not up and you don't see it, nobody's going to see it. But here it's like there forever.
That's true.
I think that's was one of the reasons I was nervous too. I'm like, if I mess up and sound crazy,
That's the beauty of editing though. A few people have said, is this live? And I'm like, no, no, no. Like I'm going to, you know, I'll take it. I'll cut out any trips. I'll cut out any, like, you know, if people repeat themselves or whatever, I cut all that out so that, you know, that you sound super pro and smart.
Oh, thank
you.
And
I also do it for myself so that I sound super pro and smart too.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we finally did it. And yeah, I'll give you, I'm working like crazy when I'm there. So I'm not sure. Actually, I'll email you.
Yeah, email me. And if it doesn't work, I mean, it'd just be fun to catch up in person. Grab a cup of coffee or a cocktail or something.
Could you?
I hear you like that Malibu rum.
I know. Like how 1990 is that of me? I know. It's so funny, but you know what? The heart wants what the heart wants.
I know.
And if it's Malibu, then it's Malibu.
One day I'll try that again. I'm scarred for, I've been 20 years ago.
Bad experience with the Malibu?
Yes.
I know. It's like drinking coconut syrup.
Yes.
With a kick. But anyway. Okay, well, I'll email you because we could maybe do brunch on Sunday.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I've got Sunday morning to myself, so maybe we can do that.
Hey, remember your Sunday brunch posts?
Yes.
We could bring it to life.
I know. Those didn't last. Like, that's why I was just saying that to Greg the other day. Like, I don't know how many I did. Not many, because people just wouldn't read that long.
Mm.
But a podcast is so great because the majority of people that have emailed me about it say that they listen while they're working in their studio.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, I listen while I'm walking to my studio because it's like a mile away and I walk there every day and throw a podcast on.
Yeah, see, that's perfect. That's what I wanted. I wanted people to like, they're making dinner or they're in the studio or they're walking somewhere or whatever. And then I just happen to be along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can multitask. Like, I'm, you know, it's hard to sit down and read a giant thing.
It is.
It was so nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. Although I hear your voice every week.
Oh,
so.
Good point.
It was nice to talk to your voice.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, tell Aaron that I say hi.
I will.
I'll give you a shout and hopefully we can meet up.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yay. Okay. I will talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay,
sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.
So fun. Maybe I should try and change that brunch date into a studio date, and I'll sneak a video camera in with me. I really would love to be a fly on the wall while she works on those big blue beauties, but then she might not be my friend anymore. Okay, just brunch. Thanks so much to Sam for saying yes. I guess I have to check my inbox more carefully. Thanks, as always, to Saatchi Art for their support and that $50 gift card at the end of February for one of you. And of course, a great big thanks to you for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear next weekend. See you then.